Thank you. How beautiful. Don't you love the Christmas music? It's so heart-opening. And we have Mother Nature cooperating with bringing us a Christmas feel. So something to joyously celebrate together today. So good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the third Sunday in Advent. The theme this week is love. And we'll have a family come forward. The Waldenberg family will come forward at the end of the service to light our candle on love. And we're going to be talking about the power of love today as we continue in a series based on the book Emergence, Seven Steps for Radical Life Change by Derek Rydell. So throughout this fall, we've been talking about emergence. And what that really is about is a birth. The birth of something new. The coming forth of something beyond what is expected. And each step of this emergence process is actually preparation for the birth. Today's step is embrace what appears broken. And we do that through the power of love. I once heard the story of a children's first grade Christmas pageant with a bit of a different twist to it. There in the manger scene was Joseph, a pacing Joseph. And behind a bale of hay was a six-year-old Mary in the throes of labor. And a doctor comes into the stable, goes behind the hay, and emerges with a great big grin and says, "Congratulations, Joseph, it's a god." Now, we need to proclaim that at every single birth, don't we? Yes. I love the George Bernard Shaw quote. "Life is a flame which is always burning itself out, but it catches fire again every time a child of God is born." And don't we see that as we gaze into the eyes of a newborn baby? It's so obvious to us, isn't it? And that's the gift of the birth of the Christ child. Jesus fully embodied the divine. He fully owned his divinity. And the story of his birth demonstrates for us the awakening of our own divine potential through the light that is within us right now, the presence of God that is indwelling us right here, right now. Do you know that about yourself?
Yes.
This week marks the winter solstice, the longest night of the year. And in the midst of this darkness, it can be hard for us to remember that the light is now coming back. You know, there's a promise within that, that the light is returning. But in these dark times, it's really hard to remember that. We can miss the understanding that the lengthening of the days, the return of the light, that it's here now. Can't always see it. And I love what the wonderful Sufi poet Hafiz writes. "I wish I could show you, when you are lonely or in darkness, the astonishing light of your own being." That's where we want to go today, is that even in those times of darkness, it's a remembering of who we are, because the truth is, it's already there, always. And the story of the birth of Jesus reminds us of that truth. The Christmas story can be a wonderful metaphysical guide to our own journey, our own awakening. And I love the symbology of the Christmas story. The purity, the faith of Mary, the strength, the commitment of Joseph, the beauty, the innocence of the Christ child, the humility of the shepherds, the angelic heralding, the wise men coming from the east bearing gifts, the guiding star. I love it all. I love it all. What does it mean to each one of us? Well, every single facet of this story has relevance and meaning in our own awakening process, represents the gifts that are within us, just waiting to be actualized. And we need to bring forth the same humility and willingness to listen as the shepherds had. And then guess what? We can hear the angels, which represent divine messages from our own deeper self at the depths of our being. And at the depths of our being, we have the same wisdom within us as the wise men. And you know what? It's that wisdom that calls us forth, that calls us, that it's the impulse to follow the star, to answer the call. The star being guidance within our hearts, ready to show us the way. And if we're not following that call, we will have an inner discontent that will try to find another outlet. Do you know what I mean by this? That's typically when we start looking outside of ourselves or indulging in some sort of addictive behavior of some kind in order to satisfy this need to become more. As Unity's co-founder, Myrtle Fillmore, wrote, we're longing to bring into manifestation that which has been given us to bring forth. That's why we're sometimes restless and discontented. So are you feeling the call to become more?
Yes.
Let's say it like we mean it.
Yes. Yes.
So what gets in the way? Well, we can really get distracted, can't we? I read the story the other day about a family that filled their front yard with dazzling Christmas decorations, hundreds of lights, a giant life-size nativity scene, and people came from all miles around just to see it. And on the roof of the nativity, instead of the angels that were usually there, sat Santa and his reindeer. Now, for some reason, that cracks me up. Spirituality meets the secular. Angels usurped by Santa. There is a kind of a poignant message there, isn't there? Although here he is paying his respects. There you go. And maybe the message this family was giving was about the need for the dazzle to take a back seat. Because in the midst of this birth, we can get lost in the glitter, the outer appearance, and we can miss this deeper message. And what is that deeper message? That we are divine beings expressing. Right here, right now, the same essence that holds the planets in place has empowered you to get out of bed this morning. It's the same essence beating your heart right now, breathing your breath right now, dwelling within every cell of your body. It's the very life coursing through you. But it's so easy to lose sight of that and let the outer world usurp the voice of the angels. Those messages from within, they don't shout. You know, they don't shout over the noise of the outer world. They don't scream over the inner dialogue that's constantly going on in our heads or the unconscious internal noise, you know, the static that drowns them out. Namely, the voice of the ego shouting out our limitations. That's the voice that shouts. These angelic messages are whispered. And we need to get underneath these limiting beliefs, the shadow qualities, in order to hear them. We do that in the stillness. Now, there's another character in the Christmas story that we need to be aware of, Herod. We should have some music right there. Dun, dun, dun. Herod. You remember what Herod does in the story? Here is a ruler so threatened by the birth of a baby that has been called the king that he orders all children under the age of 2 to be killed. How horrifying is that? Now, if every character in the Christmas story is within us, what does that tell us? I mean, it's wonderful to claim that purity of Mary and the strength of Joseph. Do we really want to claim the Herod within us? Well, that's the voice of the ego, the threatened ego, the ego that believes in limitations, that gives us that message. So what do we do when Herod shows up in this story? And what do we do when those limitations feel like reality? See? It's like we don't recognize them as beliefs. We just think that's how my life is. When that happens, do we have total faith in the infinite source within us, or do we have faith in the limitations? It's a good question to ask ourselves, isn't it? Because those limiting beliefs that have taken up residence in our psyche, that we've taken on from a young age, they can cover up what lies beneath the surface. The truth can get crowded out of our awareness. So what do we do when that happens, when they get in the way? Well, this is the labor part of this birth, by the way. So the work is this. Are you ready? Our work is to embrace any darkness that shows up in our lives with love. It's called integration, integrating the shadow. It's not about making the ego bad or wrong. It's about embracing and loving it into wholeness. Do you feel the difference there? Because the darkness is not our enemy. It's the soil we need to dig into for our own growth. And the darkness can illuminate the brightness of the star. So whatever shows up in the path is the path. And we need to embrace it, embrace what appears broken with love. And in order to do that, we have to become what Jack Canfield calls an inverse paranoid, which is someone who is convinced the universe is conspiring for his or her good. So that even when Herod shows up, we know that it's for us in some way. It's a supportive element in the path of awakening, and we continue to do the work. Have you ever heard the story called The Other Wise Man? It was written in the late 1800s by Henry Van Dyke. The fourth wise man was named Artaban. He was a Persian magi who was supposed to join the other three on the journey. And his gifts that he brings are three precious jewels, a sapphire, a ruby, and a pearl. And on his way to meet up with the other three, he stops to help a dying man, and he ends up staying with him. And then, as a result, he shows up to the rendezvous point late, and they've already left him behind. So he has to sell one of the jewels to get him through the journey alone, and he sets off to follow them. But he doesn't make it to Bethlehem until after they have left and the family has fled to Egypt. And he spends the next 30 years seeking and following Jesus, but he's always just a little bit too late to get there because he keeps stopping and helping people on the way. And the remaining two precious stones that he had ended up being used to purchase freedom for others, a mother and child threatened by Herod's soldiers, a woman being sold into slavery for her father's debt in Jerusalem. And near the end of his life, Artaban felt like a failure because he had fallen short of his spiritual goal. But Jesus appears to him and tells him that through his many acts of kindness and service, he has been the Christ all along. Inasmuch as you have done this unto the least of these, my brethren. Now that truth holds for us as well. Christ is not a destination, it's a journey. And awakening to the truth of who we are comes from that journey. Do you see? And it entails having love and compassion for whatever is showing up on the path, including for ourselves. It's about awakening to the realization that we all have this lifelong quest to find the living Christ spirit, and it's an inward journey. Nothing outside of ourselves has the final word on what we can do or who we can become. It's never about the event. It's about how we interpret the event. And this is not to say that we condone abusive behavior or we trivialize traumatic events that have happened in our lives. Of course, we do not do that. But It means it's about doing the inner healing work with compassion to integrate the limiting beliefs we've taken on because of those things. Do you see the difference? Those dark times can actually help us to grow and to evolve when we use them to help us, to assist us in our expansion through the power of love. So when things show up that illuminate some aspect of the shadowy darkness, we shift from the pain of fighting and fixing into the peace of loving, embracing, accepting. Embracing all those parts that we have formerly held hostage. Do you know what I'm talking about here? And that takes self-compassion. That's a big part of this journey, self-compassion. I recently read the story of a group of women who were gathered together for a retreat called Reclaiming Our Reimagined Selves. And there was a professional photographer attending who was taking photos throughout the first day. And on the second day, the women were all looking at the pictures with undisguised horror. They hated them. The photos weren't posed. There was no airbrushing, right? No forgiving light, no filters, no makeup, no hairstylist, no camera-ready smiles. These pictures were candid, real, and raw. And he caught them on the verge of laughter and speaking and crying and listening and displaying many emotional states, frustration, elation, fear. And they hated these pictures. They were disgusted by the pictures. They talked about how wrinkled their faces were, how awful their hair looked, how overweight they were. And as the whole group of women sat there in shock, it was a waking up moment for all of them to see how much they had recoiled from their vulnerable selves. So one woman decided to email the pictures to her husband and children and ask them which photo they liked and why. And when their responses came back, she was stunned. The two pictures she hated the most were the two that they loved the best. And their reasons surprised her. Because that's how you look when you sit on my bed at night and listen to me. Because when you dare to cry in front of me, I'm overcome with how much I love you. Those were the faces her family saw. Not the portrait, not the posed, the real, the authentic, warts and all. And we need to not just accept, but love those parts of ourselves that we tend to judge and push away. Now, this was a group of women, but this goes for all of us. Embrace what appears broken with compassion, with kindness. Wow. Those wounded parts of ourselves, they don't need to be fixed. They need to be loved. Then we can grow into who we've come here to be. Just as a child will thrive and learn in an environment of kindness where mistakes are allowed, that doesn't change just because we become adults. The same thing applies. And when we bump up against those parts of ourselves that we don't like, the limiting beliefs, the shadow qualities, the answer is not to beat ourselves up, but to embrace all of it with kindness, with compassion. Because those shadows that we reject are like orphaned children. Marion Woodman, in her book, Addiction to Perfection, said, "The more I force myself to perfect my ideal image of myself, the more overflowing toilet bowls I'm going to have in my dreams." I love Marion Woodman. As long as we're pushing away what we don't want to look at, we will project it onto others and then see what we're trying to avoid being mirrored back to us. That's how it works. So allow your heart to enfold all parts of yourself within its embrace. Because when all of you is welcome, what you will discover is that that welcoming inner environment enables you to grow beyond your limitations into who you truly are, to that bigger self, to that greater self. Not only that, but when you look within yourself with kinder eyes, you'll find a kinder world being reflected back to you. I mean, how can we make the world a better place for others if we're carrying around self-condemnation? The short answer is we can't. We can't heal life by repressing it or rejecting it. We can't live more fully if we are at war with ourselves. The inner war needs to end. We can't find peace in the world if it's not already happening within us. And we can spend our lives seeking the Christ child and missing what is right in front of us, which is the Christ child in all of its distressing disguises, as to paraphrase Mother Teresa. And the more we expose and redeem those shadowy places within us, the more we become a healing, unifying influence for others. Our gifts and talents become freed up. Our lovability becomes our love ability. Pretty good, eh? And when we discover the Christ child within, we set the stage for others to also make that discovery within themselves. We become a safe place for people to do that. What if everything that's happening in this world right now is conspiring for our awakening to this truth? Can you imagine such a thing? Is that what you think whenever you're watching the nightly news? But it's the truth. Let's start living our lives that way. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, this is not a one-and-done thing, by the way. It's an ongoing practice that leads to a paradigm shift in how we view our lives and how we respond, moving from resistance, pushing away, to embracing what appears broken. So when we have those painful moments and discover Herod and some shadowy material, we want to remember to stop and take a moment and feel deep compassion for ourselves. The same way you would do that for a child who came to you looking for comfort. Feel the warm embrace of kindness surrounding and enfolding your heart and bask in it. And then ask yourself, how could changing how I think about this situation change my experience of it? Really get clear on that. And finally, become an inverse paranoid. Assume that the universe is conspiring for your good. Ask what the gift is inherent in this situation. Think of it as an early Christmas gift. Then watch and listen for that answer. It'll come. The angels are speaking. I want to end with this quote from the author Jada DeWalt. I embrace my shadow self. Shadows give depth and dimension to my life. I believe in embracing my duality, in learning to let darkness and light peacefully coexist as illumination. Wow. Embrace what appears broken. And welcome home to your wholeness, which is the greatest gift of all. God bless. Mm-hmm.